could have started the podcast whenever you wanted. All you had to do was put the fucking headphones on. That's all you had to do. Just got to drink the virgin's blood 3 times and then die. I don't understand the point. You're a vampire. Why can't you just drink blood and you're fine? Why does it got to be drinking a virgin's blood 3 times before Halloween? This is fucking stupid. What kind of arbitrary magic rules are these?
You know, because it's a stupid comedy?
Yeah, but it's not funny. It fails on every level. It's just not good. We should do it. We should... Wait, is this streaming somewhere? Can we make this happen? Can we do the Once Bitten retrospective on fucking Travel? Oh my god. It is streaming on the Roku channel. It's on Pluto. It's on Prime. It's on Tubi. This motherfucker is... It's out there.
Ooh.
Once Bitten, it could happen. No.
Yeah.
We're going to do something. We can do something better than this garbage. I just can't believe it's actually streaming in a whole bunch of places. They want people to see this. It's like, hey, if you want to watch Once Bitten, Kai, there is no excuse. There's out there. There's
no reason not to.
Well, no, there's plenty of reasons not to.
I mean, if you've never seen it, it sounds like a good idea.
Jim Carrey in a vampire comedy?
Is Rockula streaming anywhere? I gotta know. Is Rockula streaming? Come on, baby. Fuck, it's on Prime, baby. Rockula is on Prime.
Ooh.
This could happen. Rockula can happen. Rockula is...
Count Rockula himself.
It is an oddity and a half. It's good times. Directed by Luca Bercovici. This is it. See, now we could do Rockula. I would do Rockula. I will not do Once Bitten. You want to do one weirdo fucking 80s vampire comedy? It's got to be Rockula, man. Rockula is not in the canon. And I have a feeling it's never going to be in the canon.
Nor it be. I've never seen Rockula.
No one's ever seen Rockula. I mean, I have it on Blu-ray, but it doesn't mean much. I got Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs on Blu-ray, so. This is Trapo Rockula Spooktacular.
Welcome to Trapo Rockula Edition.
It's still October, even though you won't hear this episode until probably February. Fucking
April.
Trapula.
Welcome to Trapula. I want to suck your podcast.
The podcast, it sucks on purpose.
Actually, that's probably a more fitting title.
Unfortunately.
Welcome to Go Fuck Yourself. I'm high, he's die.
Friends of Trapula.
friends of Trapula. Welcome.
Dear listener, yes, dear listener, welcome to Trapo. It's the show. What the fuck was that? I didn't do that on purpose.
Welcome to Trapo.
Trapo.
Yeah, you could change the O into a schwa.
You just came on that podcast. Takes its time. Dear listener, welcome back to the show that talks about stuff on purpose. It's Trapo, not Trapula. That's not real. It's a real show about real people talking about real shit. You know who we are, or you don't. I'm Dustin, he's Kai. You don't exist. So tonight on Trapo, or today on Trapo, or tomorrow. Whenever you listen to the show,
we're in doing one of the,
what do we call
we're
it?
We're doing a showcase.
That's what they call it on the streets, on the mean streets of Trap Town. Oh my God. It's Trapo. It's business, Kai. Wait, he's handing me something.
Billy Bones?
No, he's handing Trapo. He's got this fucking greasy ass clown. He's handing me a new record. Anatomy of Sight by Malka. Holy shit. Thank you, Trapo.
Wow.
I'll listen to this and then fucking come back in a week and tell you about it. But good job for bringing it to my attention now. I guess we'll readjourn next week to talk about Anatomy of Sight.
Wait. Hold on. How are you? The Greasy Clown's here. He's got an album for me.
How is he there too? It doesn't make any sense. You live in California.
I don't know. I'm 1,500 miles away. This shit does not make any sense. And he handed me an album by Vanishing Twin called Afternoon X.
What?
I don't know. This is creepy, but we're going to listen to this shit and we'll reconvene next week.
I was just going to drink myself into a coma, but yeah, let me jump in the fucking time machine here. I guess that works too.
I was just gonna chug a whole bottle of whiskey, but
no. So you want to go first? You want me to go first?
I'm ready.
All right, then do it. Afternoon X on the New Music Showcase.
Vanishing Twin. mostly made by three people. Susumu Mukai, sorry I butchered your name, Valentina Magaletti, and Kathy Lucas. And apparently they're British.
London.
The London town. This album is all sorts of fucking weird, interesting, electronic, collaged noise. I mean, it's one of those albums that, like, you could listen to it and you're like, yeah, they labeled this alternative because I don't know what the fuck this is. Electronic shit. There's some orchestral moments. There's some just weird noise.
Well, there's some psychedelia.
For sure.
Almost feels like it's trying to hypnotize me at times.
Yeah, there are definitely songs like the beginning, Melty and Afternoon X have some, like, hypnotic kind of trance shit going on.
Melty actually melts.
It literally, it gets quite melty. There's also kind of a little bit of a funkiness to the intro. Kind of gets you moving like, oh, this is weird. There's also some other weird shit going on. Lotus Eater also is kind of hypnotic and strange. Sometimes the lyrics matter, or I guess are like a focal point. And sometimes you can tell she's just saying words to make a noise in that particular manner.
Yeah.
Doesn't really matter what the word is. She's hitting high notes with the words just to, because that high note needs to be there. And then there's sometimes where, like, the lyrics are kind of storytelling. Lazy Garden.
I'll be in my lazy garden, singing half songs. Reading half books with half my clothes off. I'm half baked as soft cake and half blind from the sun.
Especially the first kind of half of the album, the lyrics are a lot more a tool, an instrument. But does it matter if you make a drum noise or you use a drum to make a drum noise and then you make it into the percussion of the song? I guess it doesn't really matter.
That's a big part of Marbles.
Marbles, yeah.
There's a point in the middle of that song when it literally just starts to sound like there's a robot alien trying to talk to you, but you can't understand what the fuck it's saying.
Weird and garbled. And I'm pretty sure it's saying pomegranate. Seeds. Marbles is definitely like a funky electronic, and yeah, the lyrics, this was where I wrote some of the lyrics down. I couldn't find the lyrics anywhere online, so I just had to kind of transcribe some of them. Your hands, they form a steeple and spit the marbles out. I spy with my little eye. I can see the sound of silence. What the fuck?
The sound of silence.
All right, I believe you. I really enjoy the song Marbles.
Not the longest song on the album. That honor goes to the Down Below.
A fine song. A little bit darker. It's kind of got its own kind of story going on.
That makes the whole album for me. The Down Below is just, it's a wonderful thing. I thought it was one thing.
Revelation.
Minutes and it turns into something completely different. It feels like it's separated into at least three distinct movements, and they're separated by what I don't know if that's exactly what it is, but it sounds like they're separated by a musical sting that sounds like it's created with an accordion. Every time you hear that, the song evolves into something else.
Like a timer.
Switch, and then suddenly the song's something else. The middle portion of the song, it's like this transition. I don't know how to describe it. It sounds like it's music that either lifted from an old cop show or from like the Dirty Dozen. It's very percussive and very men on a mission. We're going to go shoot some Nazis or something. It's very weird. I don't know how to describe it, but it sounds like the Dirty Dozen.
It's got a very marching beat. Kind of.
Yes, that's it.
There's something pushing you to go do something. Doesn't feel like you're going to go pick roses or take grandma cookies. Like you're going to start some shit.
And then in the last third of the song, she talks about how the ocean is wide. The ocean is wide enough. And then she just starts saying America. America,
America. Again, just using words to as an instrument to fill in this.
What?
It's fucking weird.
What I like about the Down Below overall is that it's not a happy song, but like a lot of the music that's in the album itself, there's a sense of foreboding throughout, and it kind of feels like you're going on some kind of journey. Maybe you're being chased, I don't know, but it's a slow chase. There's no hurry.
Yeah.
There's a monster coming after you, but it's not a car chase. No, it's a foot chase, and it's like you're being chased by the mummy. It's a mummy chase. Oh, he's coming, and he's not going to stop, but he's real slow. It's okay. Then you hear America, America. You're done. You got You fucking gotcha.
It's over.
The fucking music mummy gotcha and you're done.
Yeah.
But yes, that's why I like the Down Below. It is a song that never settles into any one thing. It just says, here's the accordion. I gotta be something else now. It's a fucking journey, Kai. We got pitched down devil voices and electronic distortion. At the beginning, and you're like, oh wait, is that the devil? It could be. He could make a cameo.
There's some several times throughout the album. There's some weird garbled underwater voice through a straw, kind of weird fucking comes in and out. And I don't know if that ties it together or that's just some weird shit that they used because it sounds good and weird.
You mentioned it. I think you used the word collage, and this is like a musical collage. That's what this is. The whole album is like that. It doesn't necessarily make sense outwardly at first. Hey, it's a piece of art. It doesn't necessarily have to be cohesive. It feels right when they're making it. You can kind of get on that wavelength. I feel like that's kind of what this is.
And sometimes that involves making a bunch of different songs with different people. This is one of those cases where each song is sort of the same but also totally different. Some of them sound almost like a normal singer-songwriter kind of structure, and some of them it's just weird fucking noise, which is one of the beautiful things. But also it's not hodgepodge, it's a collage. It all flows together nicely, even though they're totally kind of weird and random songs. They all fit together somehow.
Yeah.
I don't know that it makes sense, but, well, no, but they do.
See, that's it. It may sound like chaos, at least at first, but everything has a purpose. This isn't random bullshit. They're putting something together. You just got to get on that fucking train and take the ride.
It feels random and surprising, but it's obviously very crafted. That's why it reminds me a lot of like Kim Gordon album we talked about, Laurie Anderson, Big Science. There's just some weird noises and random fucking words. Sometimes you laugh, sometimes a lot deeper and makes you think, but it's not super serious because there's some funny weird shit. Lazy Garden, which is also a really fucking cool song, very hypnotic, like a siren luring you into her fucking lazy garden, hang out and fuck or whatever.
The second verse, she sounds like a little kid singing the song. What the fuck.
About 2 minutes left, things get really fucking weird and a little sinister. What is happening? Because before it's just her normal voice talking about
and a lot of that delivery kind of reminds me of Caitlin Aurelia Smith
a little bit.
I'm not saying this is not a Caitlin Aurelia Smith album,
no.
But there are some similarities
hints of it where her voice echoes unnaturally in weird ways.
She doesn't take it as far ultimately as Caitlin Aurelia Smith does and turn it into sound, but it doesn't matter. It's still great. It's got its own thing going on. I think it's neat.
There's some weird deeper meaning in some of that shit, maybe. Or maybe it's just some random words she typed. I don't know. There's a flute outro. I wrote flute outro. I haven't wrote that since we talked about Jethro Tull. There's not a lot of reasons to write flute outro, okay? Last song, Subito, is also kind of beautiful and hypnotic. She kind of starts chanting some weird shit at the end. What are we waiting for? What are you waiting for? And then the album's over.
It kind of sounds like a threat.
Yeah, there's almost a little hint of anger or aggression. Afternoon X by Vanishing Twin is a cool fucking album and you should listen to it.
There was a good article about it on Bandcamp Daily, but there's a great quote in the Bandcamp Daily. Afternoon X is fever dream music, bad trip music, defined less by cartoonish apparitions than by existential dread. The overwhelming sense that we're all just contours on a 2D plane. It sounds right. It's delivered in a kind of a bright, exciting package.
I couldn't find out a whole lot about them. One of the other things from their Bandcamp was that it was built upon from a vast constellation of instruments, samples, and unclaimed sources. That just means some random shit you found online, right? Maybe it was a 90-year-old album and no one claimed the rights to it, so you're good. I'm not a lawyer, so I'm sure there's some other shit going on there, but I don't know. Unclaimed source just made me go, oh, it sounds interesting.
There's some bizarro sampling happening here.
Half of the time, you just think it's like percussion beat. That's when you know it's a well-produced album. When the second or third listen, you realize, wait, that's not a drum. That's someone making a drum sound. That's someone tapping on something because you can hear it like echo in the room. Something else going on here. That's when you know someone put a lot of thought and craft into this. And it's good. You know, I saw the dude who said you look like drunk Frankenstein on a fucking billboard the other day.
Who was that?
Remember when we went saw Gabriel Iglesias? It was the fucking Miguel dude who opened for him, I'm pretty sure.
On a billboard? His face is on billboards?
Yeah. His face is on billboards. Because he's apparently become a big enough comic.
That's good for him. He's an okay guy. I never would have expected Gabriel Iglesias to become literally one of the biggest comedians in the world.
Yeah.
That wasn't a fat joke.
Because we saw him in a room with like 60 other people. There were maybe 40 of us who were actually fans of comedy.
Stuck right in one of those tables. When you see right in front of the stage.
The foot of the stage.
Yeah, if we're looking up at their faces, we're craning our heads upwards.
Which is why we were staring kind of off at the background and listening to them. Which is why he made this comment about you looking like fucking drunk Frankenstein. Because you were just staring at the brick wall listening to him instead of breaking your neck to look at him. Because even if we look slightly up, then we were just looking at their dick. So we're just going to stare at the wall because we have good imaginations and we can just listen.
I saw his face. I don't even keep seeing it.
Yeah, I mean, we looked up at him.
He actually talked to me.
Yeah, we talked to him.
He's like, how come you're not drinking? And I said, I drank a bunch of fucking schnapps in the parking lot.
Said you dreamt soon. Yeah. And then he laughed. That's how we pregame. And then he made a joke and moved on. And we're like, okay, cool. He made a joke. He moved on. We all laughed and it was fine. He did a little crowd work. I guess crowd work is one of those things with a comedian that's like not necessarily controversial, but like if you do it all the time, probably just means you're not that funny.
Well, no, but it's to be expected.
But also you have to interact with people. You can't just stand there and read your script.
Well, George Carlin did.
That was because he spent 8 months writing it, this intricately fucking planned thing.
So he's looking at the audience, but at no point do I think George Carlin interacts with an audience member. It doesn't happen.
I'm sure when he was doing normal stand-up, not like one HBO special a year, and that was really all he did.
He did not interact with the audience.
No,
he did not interact with the audience. The venues he plays, he stopped playing comedy clubs in the fucking 70s.
Yeah, that's more I was thinking. And also, he seems like the kind of guy who wants his shit plotted out and planned out, and that's what he's doing.
His routines were very meticulously written. He wanted to come out like an assassin, know exactly what he was going to do. Anyway, dear listener, we just talked about... What the fuck did we just talk about?
Vanishing Twins Afternoon X.
That's what it was. We just talked about that. And it was good. It's a good time. Here's the thing, though. This is the exciting part. I say the exciting part, but apparently it's not the exciting part for anybody else. The exciting part here is, dear listener, this is a form of interaction. It's been around forever. It's called a poll, okay? It's going to be a poll on the official Trapo blog. New Music Showcase Afternoon X by Vanishing Twin. And on that post, there's going to be a poll. On that poll, there's going to be two choices. Yes or no, right? Yes or no. We all know that. But what's the question? What's the question, Kai?
Does Afternoon X by Vanishing Twin belong in the Trapo Essentials canon?
And it's up to you. You get to decide whether this makes it into the canon. I'm putting a lot on the line here, Kai. And while you're there, voting in our exquisite poll. There will also be links to listen to Vanishing Twin's Afternoon X in case you haven't heard it. So it's a one-stop shop. You go to the blog, you vote in the poll after you listen to the music, obviously. I mean, look, if you want to be a rebel and vote first, go right ahead. But you're still going to want to listen to this music unless you're an asshole. And while you're there on that blog, you scroll down a little further past the poll, you're going to find a comment section. You understand what that is? Comment section? You leave a comment in the comment section, right? Leave a comment. Tell us what you think about Vanishing X's Afternoon Twin. What the fuck? Vanishing Twins Afternoon X.
Afternoon Twin X Vanishing.
Tell us what you think about Afternoon Delight.
Sky rockets in flight. Woo! Afternoon Delight.
Whoop. You guys have it, I think.
Afternoon Delight.
You can tell us other stuff. You don't mind. If there's new music that you want to bring to our attention, you go right ahead. You leave a six-paragraph review. You tell us all about it. We will read it.
But if you have that much to say, you could actually send us an email at traposhow@gmail.com.
Oh, yeah, right. I didn't even tell them the address. The blog address, by the way, is traposhow.blogspot.com. TRAPPOshow.blogspot.com.
Leave us a comment. Send us an email. Tell us how you feel. Grandma's recipes. Send us grandma's secret recipes, goddammit.
Send us a picture of a toilet.
To Trapotoilets.
Trapotoilets@gmail.com. It's a real email address. I swear to God, it's real. Send us an email of a toilet. Could be your toilet. We don't know. We don't have to know. Anonymous toilets. But seriously, though, Vanishing Twins Afternoon X. Listen to it. Vote in the poll. Leave a comment. Send an email. Please send us an email. Send us like three emails. Probably going to cut that out. That sounds desperate. But anyway, dear listener, that's the end of the new music show. And we're done for now. But we'll be back with more extremely, oh, I was trying to think of the word, timely. Extremely timely Trapo goodness on the next installment of the show that talks about stuff up in that KCK. I'm seriously, though, it's time to get the fuck off that internet, Kai. I think
bye.
Seriously, though, fuck that.
Trapo's Thunderbird Incorporated production.
People want to see Quantum Mania.
Peyton Reed is actually the name of the AI that directed the movie. It's not a real person. The same guy totally directed these movies, right? Yeah. He's not dead or anything.
Yeah.
He didn't die.
It worked.
Kevin Feige, we can replicate any director now. Kurt Vonnegut. Kurt Vonnegut didn't direct movies. He will now. He'll direct Ant-Man 4. He's going to meet fucking, what's that guy's name? That one guy who played Ant-Man, but then wasn't Ant-Man. It's Choi. Something Choi. He's the new Ant-Man. They're going to meet each other, and it's going to be great. That's the whole movie. They're going to get small together, and then they're going to win.